Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games right here.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Thanks to our mates at King G. Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Great to have your company and great to be doing the show from Pikes' pub at beautiful Suncorp Stadium. The punters have arrived at Pikes'. One of the great venues in the Southern Hemisphere, as you know, won that award recently, which is terrific. I do notice plenty of football jerseys, and there is a beautiful St. George jumper sitting before me, which is just lights up the room ahead of course, their 4 o'clock game tomorrow against the Storm. Speaking of lighting up the room, joining MG, Reedy and myself is the great man, Peter Sterling. Sterlo.
Afternoon, gentlemen and listeners. Didn't have a lot of success here.
Suncorp?
It was never Suncorp to me. It was always Lang Park. Although I think the only game we ever won finished with the greatest words Wayne Bennett ever spoke when up in the grandstand when he went, "Oh no."
Oh, Sparkles.
Mark McGaw scoring. Yes. A brave call, that one, from the referee, but few and far between those kind of moments.
Yeah. Still, it's one of those places I imagine, even when you're on the losing end, there's some joy playing in a stadium like this.
No. None whatsoever.
None at all.
I go back to playing here, Origin, where you would get changed and then you'd walk out through the bar, the public bar. You can imagine what that was like in a New South Wales jersey.
Good.
And then they're out onto the wooden platform, so the clicking of the steel studs on the way out before you ran out. Also nearly got hit by a number of cans here in Origin 9.
Yes, you did.
And the scary part about that, like I can understand, you know, people want to throw things and they want to throw cans, but you don't throw beer cans that are still full.
That's right.
Well, that makes no sense whatsoever, surely.
Had you already made your way down Caxton Street by that stage? Is that how you arrived at the venue?
We came down by bus, absolutely. And when I say the bus was rocking, the bus was rocking with some help.
Love that.
But I feel sorry for the players that they actually don't get to do that journey these days. That was the rite of passage almost, and it was great fun, and it just exemplified the us against them mentality, because when you came down there you knew exactly what you were facing.
Yep. Well, Brad Fittler wanted to do that again. He wanted to get the bus down. The police won't let them do it now because it's too dangerous.
Security risk.
Yeah, it's security risk because they might push the bus over. So
I did it twice, and I remember it most vividly, and I said the same thing recently, that the players these days miss out so much from that. You can hear it coming, can't you? Like, you're about a K away. You hear the buzz.
You look forward to it.
Yeah, and then it's kind of pump up time, isn't it?
Well, if you walked up Caxton Street this afternoon or, you know, into the evening, MG, you might get the same reaction anyway.
Yes, that's why I don't go there. Staying way away.
Won't be happening. Won't be happening. All right, what did you make of yesterday? Obviously, two games, a lot of difference between the two sides, but there was also this crackdown, which was well signposted. The coaches knew about it. The players knew about it. Now, look, I know that from listening to your call, not even last weekend on Triple M, the Canberra-Newcastle game, you have been a little bit of concern about the way the six agains have happened and so on. What have you made of the escalation?
Everybody knew it was happening, except maybe the fans last night. I don't think they realised what was coming. And I've got to admit, I didn't either. I do a thing for Channel 9 at the end of each weekend, a wrap. And my prediction last week going to this weekend was there'll be three sin binnings, thinking that'll be a reaction to previous weekend. Yeah. That was gone in game one.
Yeah.
We're up 2-8, and I can't wait to see what happens here. Look, we all understand what we're trying to achieve. And you know, the crackdown was publicised. But a crackdown doesn't have to be pedantic and it doesn't have to be overkill. And in my opinion, we had both of those last night. I stopped watching the second game 25 minutes, 30 minutes in. And, you know, I'm a fan at home watching it. Once you take the contest out of it, then, you know, I fear that will have an effect on the people watching it. And I'm keen to have a chat with Graham, because I'm sure he got exactly what he wanted last night, and we are trying to, you know, but you'll never get it. You'll never, some of the penalties last night for hands brushing the head or the neck or whatever, there was one that involved Adam Dewey, it was embarrassing. Our game is a collision sport, and we've got to be able to discern which are the ones that need to be dealt with and which ones don't. And I thought there were a number last night that did not need to be dealt with in the manner that they were.
What was the appropriate reaction, or what should have been the reaction, do you think, from the NRL after? We all acknowledge that the Drew Hutchinson knees in his back, that was a wrong look, and there should have been a harsher penalty on the field.
Absolutely.
Didn't happen. So should it have been, you just got to get that stuff right.
That's
right. Rather than, yep, let's do this whole other thing.
Absolutely. And we do get stronger on the incidents in the game that need to be addressed.
Yeah, 100%.
And, you know, if you're around the game long enough, you can determine those, you know, by having a look at them. I just thought it was overkill last night. A lot of penalties for things that I just thought were play on. And I don't know what we're going to get in these remaining games. And I also think, I tend to think that round 20 is going to look a bit different to this weekend.
Mm.
And that's not fair. That's not the way it should be. Now, that's a prediction into the future, which we don't know if that's going to happen. But I'd hate to think that in round 20 we're still penalising some of the things I saw in the first two games this weekend.
Yeah. All right. So as our expert, let's talk about the last 20 minutes of the second game, which you didn't watch. No, let's talk about those two games. What can be taken, apart from that kind of schmozzle, what can be taken out of it from the coach's point of view from both those sides?
Well, Michael Maguire would be delighted.
Yeah.
Copped a bit of flack for some positional changes, but he got those exactly right, didn't he? Adam Dewey has been their best player over the last number of weeks, so positional change for him certainly looked to be a different approach, but Mbai going into the sixth jersey worked beautifully, and it did. It had a positive impact on Luke Brooks as well, who best aspect of his game was his running game, and we saw it in all its glory last night. And Newcastle, without the football, ill-disciplined, with the football, a comedy of errors. At time, you know, if you have a look at just some individual mistakes, Kurt Mann drops the ball and then collides soon after with Tex Hoy, runs in a try. Connor Watson loses the ball 10 out from his own line. They score a try from that. There were three or four occasions where just unforced errors from Newcastle opened up opportunities for the opposition, and they took full advantage of it. You know, I thought Newcastle were a top eight side, but it's hard to be confident about them now because the losing way, no Caelan Ponga, but that can't be the case. It may well be for Manly with Tom Trbojevic, the effect he has, and certainly Caelan has that effect. But your performances can't be determined by whether an individual's in the side or not.
Well, Coach Adam O'Brien hinted at major refurbishment, really, didn't he? He talked about the culture, and then he talked about having changed personnel. It sounds like there's going to be something kind of, and not just on the fringes at Newcastle.
But what does it say about this season? It didn't sound that positive to me about what was to come in the near future.
Yeah.
They've been in the market. I mean, they signed Jake Clifford for next year. They were around Katoni Staggs. They were actually, last week, they were really optimistic they were going to get Katoni Staggs. So they've got money, because Katoni, the offer he got from Newcastle and the offer he eventually signed with Brisbane, that was on significant money. So they've got money to spend on someone if they can find the right player.
They've got quality in the lineup. That's the disappointing thing.
Yeah, they're a bit weak out wide against Sterling.
There are a couple of
good players.
Once you lose Mitchell Pearce and Blake Green on top of that, it puts some pressure on. No doubt about that. But their forward pack is...
Oh, yeah.
You know, you had Lachlan Fitzgibbon in the last couple of weeks coming in that forward pack. It's a formidable front six and bench. I think Tyson's playing some really good football. He's copped a bit of flack of late. I don't know where that's coming from. I think he's going great guns. Daniel Saifidi started the game, the season fantastically well. So there's quality there, and that's why I think we're all disappointed, because the results have got to be better than what they're producing.
All right, just one quick take on Tom Trbojevic. He's been the man that people have been talking about since he came back, and again, his performance, two tries, assists as well. Your mate Fatty Vorton saying that he may well become the best.
Hang on, who said we were mates? He's an acquaintance. He's an acquaintance that I know.
At best.
Yes. Yeah.
your former colleague.
I think, again, we'll have four fullbacks in the New South Wales side. Tedesco will be fullback. Turbo will be either in the centre or the wing. Latrell, I think, will be there, and Pappenhausen will come off the bench. If they're fit and healthy.
Yep.
It's amazing to think that with what we're seeing from Tom Trbojevic, which we've seen before, but he's getting better and better, that he's not the number one for New South Wales. It speaks volumes to how good James Tedesco has been the last number of seasons.
Yep. All right, still plenty to get to with you, but we'll have to take a break because we are going to catch up with Graham Annesley on the other side on the Saturday Scrum.
Triple M, Saturday Scrum for King G. Triple M rocks footy.
We'll be chatting with Graham Annesley any second now. Before we do that, though, it's good news for Parramatta fans, Stirler. It looks like Mitchell Moses will be there for you.
Yeah, wonderful news. And no real reason to leave. I think he sees a window of opportunity there, maybe better than ever before. I know that he's popular around the place and, you know, the club are obviously very keen to have him. So if you've got a satisfactory situation like that, why change? You know, so I think on the back of a Nathan Brown signing and pretty much everyone else on the board, I think we'll have a kind of nucleus of a good side there for a little while to come. If you have a look at the age range, it's a very good one at the moment for Parramatta. They've got a number of players between kind of 24 and 28. In fact, the vast majority of them. Then you've got a couple of young guys coming in. I think Dylan Brown is still 19, maybe might be 20 now. Yep. Reed Marnie's 23. One or two into the 30s, but it's kind of that lot of first grade experience under their belt. They're at a mature age. They sort of understand what the NRL is all about. So it's the balance of the roster in regards to that is very good at the moment.
Still, do you know much about Jacob Arthur?
I've only seen a little bit of him, Rudy. I've liked what I've seen. He's very rangy, very tall for a halfback 5'8". Defence is good. Looks like a really solid player with nice skills. And I think his instructions are just going to be very, very simple. Now, get his defence right. And when he needs to kick the football, just make sure he gets that part of his game right to finish the sets well. I think you'll find both Mitchell and Clint Gutherson will basically run the side, and Clint Gutherson, he comes up and plays as another receiver very, very comfortably. We've seen that in the past, especially when Dylan Brown was missing in the previously, he came up. So I think it'll be an easy introduction. Well, no, it won't be easy. I think it'll be a comfortable introduction for Jacob in regards to what will be expected of him.
When you talk about Mitch Moses and the situation at Parramatta and why change it if it's swimming along okay, could the same have been asked about South Sydney and Adam Reynolds, who now has confirmed he will be heading to this very ground as his home from next season?
Well, he's, 3 years older than Mitchell,
yep.
Maybe 4 years older, so that's the difference. I don't know. You know, obviously we keep hearing about the salary cap pressures at South Sydney. You can understand that they would have wanted to keep him and that he'd want to stay as well. So, yeah. I'd like to get MG maybe to comment on it. I know that we have a kind of a nominal dispensation for long-term players at clubs. I think we need to make it easier for long-term players to stay. I think the fans love that. You know, it's becoming harder and harder to become a one, yep, one club man, which I think is a disservice to our game. So if we could work down avenues,
yeah,
there, I think there's got to be, you know, a way that we can avoid these kind of salary cap pressures so that we do get players who want to stay and have been there for 10, 12 years and want to finish there, that we can accommodate that a little bit better than we do.
I think this argument came up with Beaver Menzies, who was forced to play his last 2 years in France, Le Catalan. Same type of thing. I think if you play first grade at one club for longer than 10 years, there's got to be some type of dispensation for you. Whether it's 30% cut for the salary cap, whether it's, I don't know how to do it, but we want to try and create loyalty in our game. That breeds supporters, yeah. That breeds, you know, a great culture.
There is some at the moment.
It's $200,000 still. Yeah. That's all it is in the cap, and that's got to be spread across everyone. That's not an individual player.
No, that's
across, okay, the whole group. Yeah. But there's some club CEOs at the moment who are working on a proposal that they want to put before the NRL that will give clubs greater dispensation for footballers they've brought through. So I think there's South, Canberra, a couple other clubs are working on that at the moment. So there'll be something before the NRL, I would expect next month or so on that front.
I've always liked the father-son rule as well that they have in the AFL. And I, you know,
so
I know
we've got a state of origin father-son rule. Did you know that? There's a father-son rule in state of origin, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I know when Eric Groth Jr. ran out in Parramatta colours, the crowd, you know, yep, they loved it, and that would be the same through all the clubs to have the surname continue on. So there's a few avenues there that we can, yep, you know, promote more loyalty between player and club.
Yeah, exactly. The only ones who stay in the same jumper for their entire career are the fans at the moment.
That's true.
Which is, and we
see them. That's very profound, Tony. Who told you that?
Pikesy.
Pikesy.
We're in Pikesy's pub. Pikesy is just fond of all knowledge. I don't know if you guys have caught up with him yet, but just have a little beer with Pikesy and everything will be all right. Another man, obviously, you'd love to have a beer with was Andrew Fifita. He's actually back in the Sharks side this afternoon. Now, he's come out and said that the coach, John Morris, who, of course, lost his job earlier, he told him before round one to hang up the boots. He called it disrespectful.
Yeah, it probably tells you why Andrew was linked with St. George Illawarra for a time there and looked as though he might be going to the Dragons at one point. You know, John's obviously gone now, and Andrew didn't have a great relationship with him by the sounds of it towards the end of his career. He's had some injuries, Andrew. I think he was suspended for 4 weeks or so earlier this year. He gets his chance now to prove that John Morris was wrong, doesn't he? So he's got to weigh him up.
Yeah, well, that will be this afternoon. We'll have a look at that. Plenty ahead. We are trying to get Graham Emmonsley, just some technical issues, but we'll catch up with him very shortly. We do have him now, Graham. Thank you so much for joining us. G'day, mate.
Plenty of changes earlier.
Graham Emmonsley, can you hear us?
I can, Tony.
Excellent. Lovely. Thank you so much for joining us. All right, last night, obviously, there's a lot of talk, not just about Magic Round, how it's begun, but about the crackdown, which, as we all know, had been well signposted. What did you make of it?
Well, I think it was pretty much what we had advised would happen. I mean, we briefed the clubs, we briefed the media. Of course, we don't know until the game starts and gets underway what sort of incidents we're going to have to deal with, but you know, I think that to keep it in perspective, yes, there were eight different sin binnings, but four of them took place in the last 2 minutes of each game.
Graham, why now? What it feels like a little bit of policy on the run, like rule changes are being made on the run. Why do it now?
Well, it's a commission policy direction, and it was actually delivered before last round. So I know there are some people who think it's a reaction to what happened last Friday night, but it was actually delivered and distributed to the clubs before we played round nine. Unfortunately, the referees didn't carry it out in the way that it was intended. So Andrew Abdo and I have got a responsibility to make sure that the commission's policies are carried out, and we met with the referees during the week. We spoke to the clubs about it again yesterday, and we saw what we saw.
Graham, everybody understands, you know, what we're trying to achieve with this, but I find it a bit of an anomaly that it's a legs tackle in today's game is a complete no-no because of the way the game is adjudicated. You actually penalise, I don't mean physically, but I mean if a player tackles around the legs, he does not have, or he's not given time to get to marker, and if he's left on the ground, then his side is on the back foot straight away. Surely if we're looking at ways to stop people tackling around the head, we shouldn't be looking at other areas like making something like that more attractive instead of a completely disadvantageous part of our game, because if you tackle around the legs these days, you pay a price for it, and it's a heavy one, and that's why nobody will go there, and that's why we're getting everybody tackling a little bit higher up.
Well, Peter, I don't think anyone's telling players that they have to be around the ankles. You know, I think that what we're saying is that, well, there's a good point, actually, that probably 99% of our players, or 99, I haven't done the figures, go through their entire careers and never run foul of the judiciary. And we've got a small number of players who tackle in a target area that leaves little room for error. And if they're going to tackle in that area and they're not prepared to adjust their target area, then they have to be prepared that if something goes wrong, there's a consequence that comes with that.
Did you think any penalties awarded in those first two games fell in the pedantic range, despite the fact there might have been minimal brushing contact? Did you feel as though some could have been better handled in saying play on, but just be careful of that? I think we all know what is something worthy of a penalty in regards to that and something that isn't. And in my personal opinion, I thought there were a number in the first two games where I thought they were particularly pedantic.
Well, Peter, I think everyone's adjusting to this. I mean, it is a, as I've mentioned, it's a direction that's come from the Commission. They've got a responsibility for not just what happens in the NRL. They've got a responsibility for everything that happens from every level or at every level of the game. They've got to think about not only the players that are playing the game now, but the players whose mothers are deciding whether they're going to allow them to play the game in the future. They've got to decide what sort of game that they will be playing and whether it'll be attractive to people. We all know what's happening around the world with head injuries and concussion, and the commission just can't ignore that. And, you know, we all thought the world was ending when we decided that shoulder charges were not going to be allowed anymore. We all thought the world was ending when you were going to be sin bin for punching. But what happened? Players adjusted. And, you know, our game's still as popular as ever. It's still as tough as ever. No one's trying to take the toughness out of the game. These are adjustments to the game as the game evolves.
Like Stello, Graham, I know exactly what you're trying to do. I get it. You know, I've got a couple of sons playing the game and I want them to have the best experience they can have as well. But I know rugby league, and that last night, some of that, what I was watching, seemed like a reaction to what didn't happen last week in the Parramatta and the Roosters game. To me, to fans, I was calling both games. And at halftime in the Broncos and Manly game, there was people walking out of the stadium. And I don't know whether that's because the Broncos were getting their butts kicked or they were sick of the pedanticness, as Stirlo just mentioned, of blowing the whistle, more than we've ever heard this season. The new rules are great. The six to go is great. The captain's challenge is great. I just don't know why we had to pick this weekend when we're trying to celebrate this fantastic game to bring all these rules in that has people scratching their head who've paid big money to fly into Brisbane and take time off work to give them that.
Well, Mark, there may have been a few people who left the stadium last night, and for whatever reason, whether it was the scoreline or whatever, but what we need to make sure is that we've got people who are prepared to come into the stadiums in the future, who see our game as being attractive to not only play but to watch. And the game does evolve. Look, you know, I've come through the game in the same sort of era as you guys. So, you know, I love the way the game was played 20 or 30 years ago, but that's in the past. This is
now, and it's the future.
Graham, we all saw how the sin binnings affected those games last night, particularly the second one. Will you look at a 5-minute sin bin again for maybe the six again infringements or high shots that aren't over the top?
Well, I think Peter Volandis is on the record this morning as saying that, of course, the commission will consider that. I mean, they're not going to change it immediately, mid-round, of course, but I think Peter said that they're open to considering that. So, you know, that may well be something that is considered down the track. It was discussed by the Innovation Committee in the off-season, but it was rejected. And if you recall why we originally eliminated 5 minutes in the sin bin, it was because of the constant complaints of inconsistency with some players going to the bin for 10, some going for 5, and so we eliminated the 5 to try and get more consistency. But given the approach now, you know, maybe it is something that needs to be looked at again.
It's a massive old jigsaw puzzle you're in control of there, Graham, and I know you're busy and you have to get away. Really appreciate you giving us up some time. Thank you.
More of a Rubik's cube than a jigsaw. But...
exactly. I still can't solve those things. Thank you, Graham Annesley there.
Yeah. Oh, look, you know, he said what he
had to do.
Needed to say, and, yep. And again, it's all understandable. I just wish our game had time to breathe. I can't remember the last time... We've had more changes, I keep saying it, in the last 10 years than we had in the previous 100. And it just seems we're in a constant flux of spotlight on something, and that changes, and there's a ripple effect to that, and that means we have to deal with those ripples, and something else comes in to deal with that. And I don't know, it just seems like a long time to me since we've just been able to sit back and breathe and relax, and the game sort of has been what it's supposed to be for too long.
It's like getting the injection and then seeing side effects later on, isn't it?
The blood clots.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, we've got stacks to get to, including working out who's going to win the games this afternoon. UMG, though, have to leave us. Thank you so much for your efforts this afternoon.
I'm on a flight, baby.
Okay. This is the Saturday Scrum. We do it all thanks to King G.
Triple M, Saturday Scrum for King G. Triple M rocks footy.
There's three games this evening heading towards the Bulldogs and the Raiders kick off at 3 o'clock. Then it's the Sharks taking on the Rabbitohs. And the final game for tonight, the Roosters and the Cowboys, all right here at Suncorp Stadium. And down on that beautiful Field of Dreams, the man who's in touch with all things Queensland, Ben Dobbin. Dobbo, g'day.
Guys, how are we? Conditions absolutely outstanding for what should be a really good game. But has ever there been a game of football where it's all about what the referees are going to deliver, and it shouldn't be about that? So it's a real shame that we're up here. It's a magic day in Queensland, and we've got everybody concerned about what we're going to deal with in around about 20 minutes' time from a refereeing perspective.
I think we're all looking forward to seeing what Canberra Raiders do in the second 40 minutes as well. Because that's been a concern for 5 weeks now, and obviously wasn't helped last week after leading 16-0 at the break. I just I was watching the boys warm up, and there were some nice little interactions down there. Nick Kotrick and David Ferner just catching the eye with some gesturing to former teammates, and obviously David tied up with the club. So there was, I won't say it was long distance niggle, but there was a kind of an acknowledgement of each other. But
They need a win, don't they, Sterlo, for Canberra's
sake? Both teams, Dobbo, don't they, really?
Well, Trent Barrett, I just was talking to him earlier, and he said this is an important game for our club off the back of what has been some really good performances and some patchy performances. But I don't think there's anybody who doesn't want to know what Canberra can actually do in a situation like this. I mean, Canberra are the favourites at the moment. They obviously would be expected to win this, but what we've seen the last 5 weeks, who knows? And if the NRL got one thing right this week, they actually banned these outdoor press conferences where the fans could actually ask questions. And
did Wayne Bennett do that?
Wayne said he would not go and he'd pay a fine. But I think deep down they thought, what happens if Canberra lose six in a row and somebody has to ask Ricky a question? I didn't think they'd like exactly what was going to be dealt with. So that was a good decision that they made. But obviously you just had Graham Annesley on, and all the talk has been. I spoke to Todd Payton this morning, and his concern was that why have they made these decisions on the run during the course of a season, get through the year, reassess and make it. He just said it's unfair, it's hard to coach for. He said what should be a spectacle this weekend is now being all talked about, and this game that is only a little over 20 minutes away from kickoff, it's super important for both sides, and I just hope it's not decided by a decision that was made last Wednesday.
Robert, you speak a lot to Kevin Walters. He played down what that all happened in terms of the crackdown and how that affected his team, but he didn't play down how upset he was about their performance.
No, certainly right. Soft is the word that he used, and he was very. I've spoken to Kevin. He was extremely disappointed. And look, that now that Jordan Rickey's going to lose a couple of weeks, you'd expect that Brendan Piakoura will come into this side and make his debut. I'd also expect that Carmichael Hunt will probably come into this side, remembering this week now from round 11, he's been on that trial and train, so he's eligible to come into that side. He brings a bit of experience, but it's so frustrating for Kevin Walters and the coaching staff at the present moment, because at this time, they had a performance against the Cowboys last week in Townsville that, although they didn't get the biscuits, they played to the 80th minute, and it's 1 week hot, 1 week not. They were dreadful. They were dreadful last night. They were dreadful in Darwin against Parramatta, and they just can't get the consistency, and that comes from experience. I know they've got Adam Reynolds, but we've still got a long way to go in this competition. And on the performance from last night, there has to be some changes.
Just on the subject of coaches, I don't see how their instructions to their players in the remaining six games are any different to what they always are. Coaches don't want players to go out and give away six of games to give away penalties. They want them to be disciplined.
Yep.
So it's not as though they can say, well, you've got to do something different this week, because they expect that every week.
Yeah, indeed. What's the 41,000 last night, Dobbo? What's the expectation this evening?
The expectation is around about that same, but somewhere between the NRL are telling me 38 to 42, and they're pretty happy with it. And look, it's a carnival atmosphere. I walked down from Caxton Street, down Caxton Street to the ground, and the pubs are packed. I just love the fact that, you know, you've got every different club jersey here over this course of a weekend. I think it's a great initiative. I think it's phenomenal. And everybody's really happy and enjoying what is supposed to be a spectacle. I mean, you have got the Canberra Raiders. They're in a bay here. They're supporters, and they've got the drum, and no doubt they'll be doing the Viking clap a little later. But there's so much to like about what Magic Round does, and the crowd that comes here, great entertainment. We just want the spectacle to be right on the field. I had a senior NRL player tell me today that he feels that the NRL are ruining the game from the six again rule and from the ruck infringement rules, and the fatigue is killing this game, and players can't keep up. Well, you've got to listen to the players. At any point have the players been asked before these changes have been made? I understand coaches, I understand there's a committee, but are the players being asked about this, and whether or not they're the blokes who obviously are part of this and we pay to go and see these blokes play the game, are they being asked about it before they make these decisions?
Well, let's hope we're pleasantly surprised with what we see. And it was good that we could catch up with you, Dobbo, because you did disappear for an hour there. You find it very hard to walk past the hotel coming down Caxton Street, I've noticed. You finally emerged.
Yeah. Hey, listen, there's a Bundy bar over in the southwest corner that I'm tempted to as well. So I've got to be very careful today on the sideline that I don't end up having a lazy bear during the call.
Might be some of your best work.
He got out of the pub and they pushed him over like a bus. It was terrific. Dobbo, thank you so much.
Talk soon.
Enjoy yourself down there. There's all those jerseys represented right here in Pikes' pub as well. Pikes is out and he's pouring beers, which what a character he is. Plenty to come. It is a Saturday scrum. We do it thanks to King G.
Triple M, Saturday scrum for King G. Triple M rocks footy.
Right, now it's time for this.
Over beer? Well, Canadian Club wants to stock your fridge. The next big thing.
Before we dive deeply into the games that we're about to witness at Suncorp Stadium here this afternoon, Stirler, what is your next big thing?
I think there'll be a big upset in one of the remaining games.
Okay.
I'm not sure which game will be, but I think the Warriors are a real chance against my club, Parramatta. I think the Cowboys are a good chance against the Roosters, who have obviously are down on personnel and had a tough couple of weeks. Could Penrith get beaten this weekend? I think there's an upset to come of some magnitude.
Would you count the Dragons being Storm as an upset?
Oh, even money bet that one, so that's not an upset, Tony. Okay. Well, that's what you told me, that you think that this coin toss in it.
I think there is. And some
that
more.
Would be an upset, Tony.
Exactly. What about you, Rudy?
My next big thing's a big name. Josh Hodgson, this game, it's about to start. Josh Hodgson's first game back from injury, first game back since he gave up the captaincy. You know, they've struggled without him, and I think it's a big day today for Josh Hodgson. It's a big day for Canberra. It's a big day for this club that's struggled, and I think Josh, if they're going to win and they're going to be a force in this comp, Josh Hodgson needs to be back and on his game.
All right, still this game, let's start then with the Bulldogs and the Raiders. You called them last week against Newcastle, and off they went that first half, and then you and everybody, second half, what are we going to witness? And we witness what Ricky would hate to see again.
And you wonder if it's become a mental thing that, you know, that's the second half where things start to turn against you and you start to think, well, hang on, here we go again. And that's a real problem if it becomes a mental issue for you. I love the fact that last week Newcastle just grabbed the initiative at the start of that second half. When you trail by a substantial margin at halftime, the first thing you've got to do is get on the front foot. And the short kickoff did exactly that. But the Raiders had to react much more positively than they did. The soft tries that they've been letting in, especially in that second 40 minutes, what is it, 93 points they've conceded and they've scored 8.
Yep.
They've just got to, you know, it's got to come down to their defence. If they get that right, there's certainly enough strike power in the lineup to get the job done comfortably. But I thought they were morals last week, and at halftime I couldn't have put enough on them. So I'm really keen to see what they produce against the Bulldogs side. That I think I've been disappointed the last couple of weeks in the fact that, yes, they don't have the quality of roster that everybody else does, but you've never questioned their effort or their intensity. I think you've been able to do that in the last couple of weeks, unfortunately for them. You know, they've had that win over the Sharks, but around that, they need to come out with great attitude. And if they can start well and, you know, put a little bit of doubt in Canberra's mind, I'm looking for an upset somewhere this weekend. Maybe it'll be the next game.
And it's a big day for Canberra because, you know, there's been all that talk that they're an unhappy camp, that Hodgson's unhappy, George Williams is unhappy. You know, Ricky's lost some players in the dressing room, not the entire dressing room.
Tarpany, Papali'i didn't play one
week. They lose today, that's 6 in a row against a pretty ordinary Canterbury team, let's be honest. Like the last couple of weeks have been very ordinary. And so, you know, I think if they lose, then those whispers become a little louder and it just gets harder to deny that they're an unhappy camp.
Well, you don't want the spotlight on your club. And it started out the Dragons after Mudgee, and then it went to North Queensland with Tamalolo and Peyton and all that. Yeah. You win a couple of games and all of a sudden it's directed elsewhere and you can just get on with the job. Canberra now, they're the side that need to have a win and get a couple going, and all of a sudden the conversation takes place elsewhere.
Just on a sideline in terms of Canberra, there's been some criticism about Kyle Flanagan being put up to the media after he was dragged in the St. George game. Subsequently, he isn't playing in this game. And the emotion that he showed, I loved seeing that. I love that he cared so much. I love that it was about family as well as the club. And sure, it was stripped bare and kind of raw to watch, but I thought it was terrific.
Yeah, and I think everybody did. I think we all had great admiration that it means so much, and that's what you want. Now, it was his decision to speak. You know, the club weren't certain as to as to whether he should, but they saw no signs that that was going to be a problem for them. Look, everybody's been dropped in the game, or most of us have been dropped. You know, it's something that you go through, and it's how you react to it. Go and have a chat with Trent Barrett, find out what he's not doing right, what needs to be done differently. You work on that and you come back bigger and stronger than ever. This can be a real, this will be a pivotal moment in his career where, you know, you've got to have that disappointment to take that next step. And he's got enough quality to do that.
And Todd, I think it's important to, still I mentioned it then, the club spoke to Kyle, because the club copped a lot of flack in the wake of that for putting him up. But they did speak to Kyle, and Kyle assured them he wanted to speak. He was in the right frame of mind to talk. And the club gave him every opportunity not to do it. And if he didn't want to do it, they were happy to pull him out of the media opportunity. So, the club's copped a lot of flack in light of that. And I think probably it was unwarranted because we didn't know the full story behind it. But, you know, he's a good kid, Kyle. I actually turned up at the game last week and he got the heel lift there with his dad and Corey Allen. And it's the first game his dad had been to all year to watch him play. And, you know, talking to Shane, you know, he's a really proud guy that he loves watching his son play. And, you know, Cole obviously lives at home. And that's why I found it tough to watch, like everyone did, because, you know, it's just a kid who's struggling when he was asked about his family and how important they are to him.
You've lost a lot of media jobs through the years, Tony. You've come back reasonably well.
See, I don't get upset because I'm expecting it. You know, I'm always overachieving by having a job at all. I think Cronulla and South Sydney, both teams, like, beaten by 50 and 48 to zip last week. I reckon we're going to get a good game of footy there. Who wins in 10 words?
I think South Sydney win. I'm not convinced about Cody being at fullback, but I think they've, again, got enough quality to win that one.
All right. Well, sadly, that's where we have to leave you here at beautiful Pikes' Pub. He's putting in a few beers on the table for us, but stay tuned. Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M, Saturday scrum for King G. Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.